Welcome to the IBXML and related technologies awareness series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Way. Today is April 26th, 2006. The topic is the IBXML registry repository. Today's guests are Catherine Breininger and Farouk Najmi. Catherine is an internet librarian and information scientist for the Boeing company. Catherine has been chair of the OASIS IBXML Registry Technical Committee since December 2001. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Sasha. Thank you.
Can you add a little bit to this very short introduction about yourself?
I have been working at the Boeing company for the last 17 years in the Boeing libraries, and I focus on taxonomy development, information management, knowledge management, and of course registries. I also manage an internal XML registry that we have here within the Boeing company for registering our XML artifacts as well as other artifacts critical for electronic business interchange.
Okay, thank you. Second guest is Farouk Najmi from Sun Microsystems. Farouk has been OASIS IBXML Registry Repository Specification and TC lead for the last few years. Farouk is also a founding member of the FreeBXML.org project. Further, Farouk is the lead developer of the open source IBXML Registry Repository called FreeBXML Registry. Hi, Farouk.
Hi, Sasha.
Do you want to add a little bit more about yourself to this short introduction?
I have been with IBXML Registry Technical Committee since its beginning, and at the moment my focus is on deploying our work of the last 5 years in strategic deployments in various governments and other entities.
Thank you. To get started with the IBXML Registry Repository, Catherine, what are the IBXML Registry Repository standards?
First of all, I'm going to very briefly describe what an IBXML Registry is. It's an information system that stores XML artifacts, such as XML schemas, data elements, and so on. And it can also store non-XML artifacts, such as supporting documents, as well as metadata about these artifacts. The file system or database that holds the registered artifacts is known as the repository, while the part of the system that maintains the metadata for the registered artifacts is known as the registry. So those are the two pieces of the registry repository. Now the standards themselves, currently versions 3.0 of the EBXML registry information model and the EBXML registry services were approved by the OASIS membership and became OASIS standards in May of 2005. Earlier, versions 2.0 were both approved as ISO standards 15000 Part 3 and Part 4, and that approval occurred in March of 2004. The Registry Information Model specification defines types of metadata and content that can be stored in an EBXML registry. The EBXML Registry Services Standard defines the services that are provided by an EBXML registry and the protocols that are used by clients of the registry to interact with those services. The EBXML Registry and Repository provide services for registering, locating, and accessing information resources in a distributed or federated secure environment. So that's a brief overview of what they are and how they're used.
What is the current status of the OASIS IBXML Registry Technical Committee?
The OASIS IBXML Registry Technical Committee meets biweekly on telecons and has at least one face-to-face meeting a year. We also have a very active email list. The Technical Committee has 20 members, 8 of whom are voting members, and over 70 observers, and these are from across the globe and in every time zone imaginable. The technical committee works to develop specifications, technical notes, white papers, and related documents for interoperable EBXML registries and repositories, including interfaces that enable the submission, query, and retrieval on the contents of the registry and repository. The EBXML Registry Technical Committee develops these specifications that serve a wide range of uses, covering the spectrum from general-purpose document registries to real-time business-to-business registries. The TC is currently working on developing a number of registry implementation profiles for specific domains such as web services, web service remote portlets, OpenGSI, and within the health industry, HL7, as well as looking at how to implement core or advanced features that are specific to these industries.
You're currently at version 3. I'm sure you have plenty of work ahead of you for our next version, or you already ran out of work?
No, we have plenty of work ahead of us, thank you. We are working on developing some profiles, implementation profiles, as I mentioned earlier, for some specific domains. Mm-hmm. And so that work is what we're focusing on during the next year. We're not sure at this point when we would be going on to another version. It depends on requirements that come forward as implementations are put into place.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Catherine, if I'm working with lots of different types of documents, when do I know is the right time when I should start to look at the registry? At what point in time would a registry like the EBXML one would help me in a day-to-day basis work?
When you're beginning work with documents, you probably would want to consider who the audience is for those materials, as well as what they will be used for. And it's not too early to begin at the beginning of a project to think about how you're going to manage those documents and those artifacts. And especially if you're working in a business-to-business environment or a situation where electronic transference of information is part of the scenario, then you would likely want to look at the EBXML registry standards as one way to manage those documents and artifacts as you go along. Implementing a registry at an early stage of a project is much better than waiting 5 or 6 years, having a huge amount of unmanaged artifacts and materials, and then trying to implement something at that late date. It's much easier to do it at the beginning of a project when there are less documents than to wait until you've got 20,000 to try to manage.
Okay.
Rasha, may I also add to that what Catherine just said?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So some of the patterns that I've seen where you can determine a good fit for EBXML registry and repository have the following characteristics. When a deployment needs to manage a lot of electronic content, and this content has intricate metadata to describe it, when there is need for rapid discovery of the content based upon structured searches and contextual searches, when there is need to interlink the content using various types of relationships, when there is need to navigate from one content item to related content until you find what you're looking for. These are all salient features of when you might want to use an EBXML registry. Also, if you need ability to deliver notification of changes to the managed content to interested parties, when you want to control access to the content to only authorized personnel, you want to make sure that information can flow seamlessly across organizational boundaries, these are times when an EBXML registry repository can be quite useful.
Okay. Recently, I had a project where we produced a number of EBXML collaboration protocol agreement documents. So I started to look at a way I can manage these documents. So I had a very naive thought of, I take a XML database where I can throw in these documents, I write some queries to retrieve information, and maybe I add a web service so I can query them. Farouk, what would be the advantage of using a tool like the EBX Registry Repository, which was, I think, tailored for that purpose, versus when I do my own thing of implementation?
That's a great question. So certainly an ad hoc implementation that does exactly what you described, use a relational database or an XML database, put some web service on top of it, and do certain publish and discovery capabilities,
yeah,
you can have some of what you're looking for. But the benefit of using an EBXML registry, first and foremost, you get greater interoperability with other standards EBXML registry-based information stores without having vendor lock-in, because you're based on an open standards-based protocols and open standards-based metadata that describes your content. But beyond standards, it boils down to reinventing the wheel.
Okay.
So the EBXML registry provides out of the box many useful features that, based on a lot of real world deployment experience, we've added to the standard. Catherine mentioned publish and discovery. There is various capabilities for parameterized stored query creation and invocation, using creating taxonomies, using taxonomies to classify content, defining relationships. All kinds of information management and governance features such as validation, cataloging, end-to-end lifecycle management, enabling workflow through notifications, security features, role-based access control and audit trail being examples of that, federation features that allow multiple stores to work seamlessly together. All of these things we've thought through and provided them out of a single standard that in itself is based on many other standards.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly the equivalent functionality could be built in an ad hoc manner, but it would not be interoperable and it would reinvent the wheel.
When I then read into EBX Registry Repository a bit more, I came across the notion of metadata programming. Can you tell a little bit about metadata programming?
I think metadata has played a role in software development and deployment for quite some time, but what EBXML Registry brings to the table is that it provides a standardized set of metadata as defined by the specification that Catherine mentioned, the EBXML Registry Information Model.
Mm-hmm.
So that provides about 20 different types of standardized metadata. And what you refer to as metadata programming, I would say it's metadata centric development, where you have artifacts or content which is described by metadata. And the analogy I would use to crystallize the concept is the familiar analogy of your local library, that the books in the bookshelf are like the content in the repository, while the card catalog of the library is like the metadata in the registry. And yes, you can do with just the books in the library, but in order to be efficient about managing those books, finding them, etc., you need a card catalog. So where metadata-centric development comes in is essentially, you mentioned a continuum of, you know, on the one extreme, you have no metadata,
yeah,
and only content. That's how a lot of people, a lot of deployments deal with artifacts such as WSDL, XML schema, BIPL, and so on, EBXML, CPPA, business process. And what's missing is the metadata in that, where metadata enables rapid discovery, because metadata can be used to categorize content related to, you know, its dependencies, etc. So At the other end of the spectrum, which is quite the other extreme, we have all of the content converted into metadata so that you can search for just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
In practical terms, what we find is most useful is somewhere in between, where you identify your discovery use cases, and based on those discovery use cases, you decide what parts of the content need to be cataloged into metadata.
Okay.
And then the registry provides features that enable this process of cataloging and subsequent discovery.
Farouk, do you know the eBXML registry, in which way is it used in a design time of a system? As later to the next question, at runtime.
Right. So an eBXML registry is used for cradle-to-grave management of any and all types of design artifacts. So at design time, the design artifacts such as XML schema, WSDL, eBXML core components, eBXML business process,
mm-hmm.
eBXML CPPAs, etc., policies, they can all be managed end-to-end within an eBXML registry. And another important role that the eBXML registry plays at design time is enabling governance of these design artifacts. And this is done by the registry enforcing organizational policies and standards. And this is possible because eBXML registry repository standard supports an integrated registry and repository. So essentially, a registry alone without the repository is not an effective governance solution. As I've said before, you cannot govern what you don't control. And the registry controls the repository controls the content, and therefore it can govern the content. That's the design time. Now, as far as you also asked about how the eBXML registry may be used at runtime, I want to mention that many people have this misplaced belief that an eBXML registry and repository is only useful at design time. I've actually worked personally on several deployments of eBXML registry where it is being used as an operational store at runtime for an application or service. The possibilities of how that is used at runtime is pretty open-ended. It's as open-ended as the number of ways a relational database may be used at runtime. But here are some examples that are real-world examples I'm aware of.
Okay.
The government of Ontario in Canada is working on a messaging hub that will connect the corporate messaging system of government of Ontario with similar systems in other Canadian jurisdictions such as the Canadian federal government.
Mm-hmm.
This messaging hub uses an eBXML registry at runtime to provide configuration regarding senders and receivers of messages, who are the participating hubs, the documents that are expected to be exchanged, and all the various constraints and policies between senders, receivers, hubs, and the documents that are exchanged. In addition to that, the eBXML registry repository is used by this messaging gateway as a persistent store for messages to support reliable messaging requirements. Another example, a real-world example, is IHE, which stands for Integrated Healthcare Enterprise, XDS, Cross Enterprise Data Specification, is a healthcare specification that uses an eBXML registry repository as a runtime store for electronic medical records. Several companies, including IBM, are building products based on eBXML registry repository for this runtime use case. So imagine a doctor in a hospital pulling up patient records, and the patient records and x-rays, etc., are being served out of an eBXML registry repository, or at least the catalog of the content is being kept in an EBXML registry repository.
Farouk, in this regard, how does the EBXML registry repository relate to other standards which will be used in these kinds of deployments?
So there are several standards that EBXML registry repository standard normatively depends upon. In particular, it depends upon certain web services standards. I should point out that a common myth is that EBXML registry repository is somehow different from web services. In reality, it is in itself a first-class web service because it normatively defines a SOAP binding for its interfaces, and it describes this SOAP binding in form of a WSDL description. So certainly there, it has connections to SOAP and WSDL standards. And it also requires conformance to the WSI basic profile and WSI basic security profile. So again, you know, EBXML registry is not something different from web services. In fact, itself a web service. It also depends upon several other standards defined by W3C and OASIS. For XML standards, for instance, it relies upon XACML, pronounced XACML, for role-based access control policy syntax. It relies upon XML signature for ensuring integrity of communication with the registry, as well as authentication. Mm-hmm. It relies on OASIS SAML protocols for supporting single sign-on capabilities, and it relies on OASIS Web Services Security, SOAP message security specification for its integrity of messages. And then there are some other standards such as XSLT, et cetera, that mm-hmm. it relies upon.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just quickly touch on the web services question. I also wanted to point out that in addition to EBXML registry being itself a web service, it also provides first-class support for the publish management, governance, discovery, and reuse of web service artifacts such as WSDL and XML schema.
Mm-hmm.
So one dominant use case is that of a web services registry. It can also be used by web services at runtime as an operational and configuration store, which is a use case I mentioned earlier in the Government of Ontario
mm-hmm.
scenario.
Mm-hmm. To continue with that question, Catherine, this question has been asked probably many times. What's the relationship between the OASIS EBXML registry standard and the OASIS UDDI standard?
Okay, thank you. Yes, that question has been asked a number of times. These two standards, both approved by OASIS, coexist as each of them was developed initially to meet different business cases and requirements. Currently, there is no formal liaison relationship between the OASIS UDDI Technical Committee and the EBXML Registry Technical Committee, although we are observers on one another's, there are members who are observers on one another's technical committees,
mm-hmm.
and there is some conversation between the groups. As I mentioned, the standards were initially developed to meet differing business cases, and each one of the standards have specific strengths for specific applications. So our position is that we encourage implementers to determine what the requirements are for their specific business cases and then evaluate the features and functions of the EBXML registry and the UDDI registry standards and determine through that analysis how well each of those standards would meet their specific needs and requirements.
Thank you. Farouk, I'm sure you also have to want to add your view on the two different standards.
Yes. I think Catherine covered it very well. What I would just add to it is that the two have very different original visions and consequently design centers.
Mm-hmm.
And the original vision of UDDI was that of a universal business registry where it was a yellow pages, white pages for businesses and services, whereas the original vision for EBXML registry has always been designed for secure federated information management of large amounts of complex information using standardized and extensible metadata.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this UDDI vision has shifted somewhat, and because the original vision morphed into more recent changes, where UDDI, to its credit, has been trying to reinvent itself as an internal web services registry, so a governance platform, etc. But because of the original vision differences, there are differences in design center. In particular, we have an integrated registry and repository, whereas UDDI is, by design, only providing a registry. And this relates to the governance comment I made earlier, where unless you have an integrated registry and repository, you cannot govern what you don't control and so on. So there's a difference in design center, and the protocols reflect this difference. So, for instance, protocols in UDDI are fairly focused and specific. You know, they with names like Find Business, Find Service,
mm-hmm.
whereas protocols in the information model of EBXML Registry Repository are fairly generic and extensible, with names like Find Object instead of Find Organization or Service, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other differences. There's quite a few differences that could take quite a bit of time. I can certainly provide a link to an analysis that I've done on such comparison, but it's beyond the scope of a few words to discuss here.
Yeah. What's the link maybe you want to mention here?
Sure, it's ebxmlrr.sourceforge.net/wiki/overview/comparison-with-UDDI in lower camel case, so lowercase c, uppercase w, all uppercase UDDI, comparison with UDDI.
Okay. Catherine, a question for you. How, as this interview series is under the umbrella of EBXML, how is the relationship between the EBXML register within the EBXML standard?
Okay, thank you. Yes, the EBXML registry information model standard and the EBXML registry services standards are part of the suite of EBXML standards that have been developed within OASIS. And the other ones are the business process, EBXML business process, EBXML collaboration protocol, profiles and agreements, or CPPA, and the EBXML messaging services. Now, from the onset, the EBXML framework has been composed of these independent but somewhat related or aligned pieces or components. They are by design loosely coupled, and each of them can be used either individually, they can be composed together as desired for a specific business case, or they may be integrated with other evolving technologies. So while they are compatible with one another, they are not necessarily dependent upon one another. In addition, the EBXML registry and repository are viewed as one of the important components of an SOA architecture, and especially the EBSOA service-oriented architecture work that's currently under development in the EBSOA technical committee. And as that technical committee, which has just gotten started, moves forward, we will probably be seeing some collaborations and liaisons between the EBSOA technical committee and the registry EBXML registry technical committee. In addition, the OASIS business-centric methodology technical committee recognizes the value of using registry repository, and a number of other OASIS technical committees have actively been developing standards for electronic business and also see a value in using an EBXML registry as part of that process, or incorporating a compatibility or capability to use an EBXML registry as part of that. So as these technical committees do their work, we see liaisons that are formed and collaborations that are formed between the EBXML Registry Technical Committee and the other OASIS technical committees to collaborate and then provide some value and interoperation between the standards.
Mm-hmm. Farouk already mentioned a few successful EBXML Registry implementations, the one from the Canadian government in Ontario project. Catherine, mm-hmm. you have another successful EBXML registry you want to mention here?
Yes, there are a number of successful implementations, and we are seeing adoption growing in government and in a number of separate domains, specific domains. So I can list for you a couple of them that we're aware of, and these are documented in some of our documents on our homepage, as well as the EBXML Joint Committee pages and papers. One of those is with the government of Norway and Finland, which is implementing a free EBXML for a registry-based environment that will assemble XML schemas and electronic forms as part of the transaction process, or part of the process that they're using within their registry system. UNCFACT Information Content Management Group has officially adopted the standard and FreeBXML registry for their information content management architecture. This is a planned UN registry federation that will store UN-defined, United Nations-defined, and core component artifacts. Mm-hmm. In addition, EDI France has launched a trial version of an EBXML registry to manage their business information entity components. The Korean EBXML Central Registry and Repository Registry System, also known as REMKO, R-E-M-K-O, has linked several different domains together in their registry system, including the iron industry and steel industry, along with the trade sectors and some software providers, all of this working together to exchange information. NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, is working with integrating the healthcare enterprise on developing a cross-enterprise document sharing system. And I believe Farouk had mentioned HL7, which is working with RosettaNet and the U.S. Department of Defense and Sprint and UNSPSC. There are a number of version 3.0 EBXML registries that are available and have been implemented. Farouk has talked a bit about the FreeBXML registry, and the location of that is at http://ebxmlrr.sourceforge.net, sourceforge.net. The Sun Service Registry product is also available at www.sun.com under their products. And Summation has an EBXML registry and repository product, and interested people can go to their site to look at that product specifically. It's at www.ebxmlsoft.com.
Okay, thank you. A question I have for both of you: how do you explain EBXML to your peers, friends?
Let me describe how I describe EBXML to grandma.
Okay.
And I'll be describing it to in its terms of its various components using familiar analogies.
Okay.
So EBXML messaging service is analogous to a fax machine. It allows organizations and, for example, businesses to reliably exchange electronic messages instead of fax machine and paper. EBXML collaboration protocol agreement is analogous to a service contract between businesses. Unlike a business contract, a CPA, a collaboration protocol agreement, is a technical contract that defines the parameters within which organizations have agreed to conduct electronic business exchanges. Now, the EBXML core components are analogous to words in an English language dictionary. Mm-hmm. They serve as the basic building blocks of electronic messages. Then the EBXML business process specifications are like a script for a Shakespeare play. It describes the actors, mm-hmm. the expected choreography of dialogues between the actors in the various scenes where the scenes are analogous to scenarios or use cases. And as I mentioned already, the EBXML registry is like your local library. Its repository contains all types of electronic content, much like the library contains printed content. Its registry contains metadata describing the content, much like the library's card catalog contains information about the printed content. And any number of EBXML registries can work together to offer a unified service, much like multiple libraries can participate in a cooperative network and offer a unified service. So EBXML as a whole is all of the above put together mm-hmm. as a set of loosely related standards that allow each individual standard to work without having to require all the other standards to come into play.
Very good. I have to use your explanation for when I have to explain it to my family.
Family?
Yeah. Catherine, how about you? How do you explain what you're doing, for example, to your coworkers?
Well, actually, Farouk summed it up so well
yeah.
with his example. I frequently use the analogy of the library online catalog to describe the registry
mm-hmm.
and the contents of a library, being the printed material or the software, magazines, things like that, as the repository piece. So that analogy has worked very well for communicating what it is and what it is that we're doing. I can identify a number of benefits of using an EBXML registry. If you'd like me to go forward with that.
Please.
Okay. And these are pretty high level, but also very true and very effective. An EBXML registry promotes the efficient discovery and maintenance of the objects that are registered in it, or the artifacts that are registered in it, so that it, through the search and query mechanisms that Farouk described a little bit earlier,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to locate and identify and discover objects that are of interest for a specific application. It also enables efficient version control of those registered objects through the metadata that's associated with them. It promotes an understanding between registered objects because of the metadata that's associated with each one of them, and being accessible from a single location or a single entry point through the searching mechanism, there's an understanding of the relationships and the purpose of those registered objects and promotion of that. An EBXML registry also ensures the availability and reuse of authoritative XML. For example, in an industry or in a company where specific XML artifacts have been registered in an EBXML registry, that is often identified as the authoritative source for that XML schema or DTD or other artifact that's being used. Because of the registration processes that are put in place through an EBXML registry, there's control of that registration process and validation of the artifacts from authoritative sources. And this also helps to promote interoperability between the users of the registry, whether those are trading partners or suppliers. An EBXML registry also enables a collaborative environment for development of XML schemas and other artifacts. Users can create XML artifacts and then submit them to an EBXML registry or to an XML registry, and then those can be used by authorized parties, and enhanced versions can then be made available for access by other authorized parties as these things evolve over time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Farouk, do you want to have a summary before we close this interview?
I think EBXML registry and repository standard at 5 years old is now a mature standard.
Mm-hmm.
The core specs are stable and will remain so for quite some time. Instead of making major changes to the core specs, we will focus, as Catherine mentioned, on providing many more domain-specific profiles. Profiles, by the way, are normative specs in their own right that define how to use EBXML registry and repository within a specific domain or use case. And some examples, as you recall, Catherine mentioned a profile for WSDL, XML schema, BIPL, OWL, EBXML core components, CPPA, business process, IHE, XBS, etc. The list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be working on developing, in addition to these profiles, another sign of maturity is that we plan to work on conformance test specifications that can be used to validate conformance of an implementation claiming to be supporting the EBXML registry repository standard.
Mm-hmm.
As for new features, We are working at the moment on some additional extensibility features, such as type extensibility and protocol extensibility. Here are some things I consider when measuring the success of the EBXML registry and repository standard. It is the only standard that I'm aware of that provides an integrated registry and repository. It is the key infrastructure to enable SOA governance by virtue of having an integrated repository. It is being deployed in major vertical industries and organizations, large and small, and Catherine gave a pretty good overview of those. It's being adopted by standards that other than itself. In other words, other standards are adopting and building their standards on top of EBXML registry, IHE-XTS being an example. Many new profiles of EBXML registry specifications are emerging. All these things, when considered as a whole, are an indication that the EBXML registry and repository standard has been very successful in meeting the demands of a diverse set of use cases and deployments. And on our fifth birthday, I feel pretty good.
Okay, very good. Catherine, you have anything to add?
I have just would like to encourage anyone who is interested in more information about the EBXML registry or would like to see what we're doing, I would encourage you to go to the EBXML registry website, which is off the OASIS homepage. The website is www.oasis-open.org. And underneath the left navigation side, under technical work, interested people can select committees by name and locate the EBXML Registry Technical Committee, or they can look under the e-commerce category or the web services category and find the EBXML Registry Technical Committee link there. So I encourage anyone interested in getting more information or in joining us to go there or to try to contact either Farouk or myself about the EBXML registry to get more information about it. So we would welcome additional input and additional people to become members of our technical committee. It's a great group of people to work with.
Okay. Catherine, Farouk, thank you very much for your time and your sharing of your knowledge. And I wish you all the best for your future work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sasha, for your time.
Okay, and for our listeners, hopefully you had an interesting interview with Catherine Farouk about the EBXML Registry Repository. Thanks. Bye-bye.